This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
River Island's guest line, Zena Cato, who will be handling both pre and post on NBC Sports Bay Area tonight for the Warriors versus the Blazers. Zena, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. I'm also taking one of your statements there, shaken but not stirred when it comes to confidence. I like that. I like that a lot.
Is that how you're feeling? Did Wednesday shake your Warrior confidence a little bit?
No, I feel the same about the Warriors. I think right now the Warriors have always been a team that will absolutely tear up a series, but absolutely will F up a one game like situation. And that's why they must stay out of the play-in. You just never know what can happen on night in, night out sometimes with the Warriors. But once they make it to a series situation, which, you know, you hope they went out and get to the sixth seed so they can avoid that. You got Steph Curry, put my money on that, and they will find a way to scheme and adjust out of the series for sure.
I think Dibs wants to ask you something, but I'd like to jump in and say that might be one of the strongest opening statements by anybody who's ever been on this show as a guest before. Just okay. Walked right in here and talked about the Warriors effing stuff up. That was incredible.
Yep.
Well, we've seen situations all season long where it's like Warriors have found themselves in trap games and teams coming out. Everyone always says the stars are bright in LA. People show up for the Lakers. People show up for the Warriors too. And people always want to show out against Steph Curry and the Dubs. And that's what puts them in these kind of precarious situations in which if you let someone hang with you for long enough, they might be able to close the game. And this is one of the reasons why I was asked on pregame, postgame with Bonte and Mully, you know, what are your thoughts after this amazing record? Warriors are 22-7 since Jimmy has arrived. I believe 22-6 now when he's playing. And I've reserved my judgment. It's great. Record's great, but like let's do our due diligence. Who have they really been playing that's been fully healthy, that's been, you know, above 500 team, that's been a true contender. And the first game we really got to see an example of that was this in this past week. And of course, Lakers game, you know, performed well. Memphis performed well. Denver performed well. Houston, when things got exposed a little bit. And then now against the Spurs, you saw, okay, there might be some offensive issues here that have got to be figured out before the playoffs. So those one-night games, just the March Madness type of games, is when I'm like, ooh, Warriors, what's up? But in a series, I feel like the Warriors always find a way to adjust and bounce back.
You mentioned the offensive woes, and so you being a former baller, when you watch this team, what do you see offensively that makes it so they sometimes are challenged?
Spacing. I mean, that's the name of the game in the NBA these days. That's why these big wings are so preferred as, you know, prospects and people that you want to get on your roster, because usually that means you have size, but you also have someone that can shoot the ball outside. And right now, you know, 13, I think it's been 13 games since JK has come back. And JK is not a predominant three-point shooter. He was clicking on it before he went out, but it's not his main game. His main game happens to mirror almost exactly the new addition that came while he was out, which is Jimmy Butler. And so you've got two players that are on the wing that prefer to drive in, that prefer to work in the mid post, that prefer to work in the post, take their defender to the basket. And usually that works if the other can space, right? Like if you can play off of each other, and that's why you saw some success with Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga, because even though their games matched in that way too, Andrew Wiggins could step outside and shoot as well. And so right now you're seeing and Steve Kerr talked about this today, you're seeing the spacing with a Draymond Green who can shoot the three and has done really well this season shooting the three, but it's not his number one option. You're seeing Jimmy Butler, who is capable of shooting the three. He hit two last game, but that's not his number one option. And you've got Jonathan Kuminga, who's capable of shooting the three, but that's not his number one option. All three of those players, for differing reasons, want the ball in their hands and need it for a moment to be able to make a decision on what they're going to do. And usually that first decision for Draymond, it's usually pass, find an open teammate and get an offense going. For Jimmy, it's face up, look at your defender, what's going on. Same thing with Jonathan Kuminga. And so when you got three players on the floor that need the ball in their hands for just a little bit to make a decision, and it's usually within the arc, that's really tough for offenses to be able to get going, because defense will sag in, make everything tough in the paint, and it's hard to get flow and fluidity to your offense when that happens.
Yeah, that's really good breakdown. Zena Kata of NBC Sports Bay Area is with us here on Willard and Dibs. I don't want to jump past tonight, but I think the head of a Warrior fan is thinking about both of these games as like their own entity. And I'm looking at the Los Angeles Clippers right now. They had a three-game losing streak that ended on March 4th, and since then they've lost a total of three basketball games, and two of them were to Oklahoma City and Cleveland. What kind of a problem is that team for the Warriors on Sunday?
There's the problem that the Warriors have faced all season and struggled against. Like, if we're being candid, like, tall, athletic, long defenders, wing-oriented teams. That's what the Clippers are. You got Derrick Jones Jr., Kawhi Leonard now back in the mix, scoring at ease and, bolstering their defense. Got Chris Dunn, unbelievable defender, can switch 1 through 5. And James Harden, who, for everyone that remembers James Harden of the Houston lore, like, very different, but also same James Harden in that he's scoring, but also playing defense and also leading his team in deflections. It's a really well-rounded team. And then, of course, the big issue, the size inside. Vita Zubac, one of my favorite bigs in the league, probably my favorite big in the league. He's just so efficient inside and so conditioned. I mean, that man can play significant minutes night in, night out, and can tear up the inside and gives Draymond Green problems usually. So this team is a problem on defense and they're a problem on offense because of the scoring capabilities they have in Harden, Leonard, and I didn't even mention Norman Powell included in that list. So it's tough, but again, my thing is, what the Warriors have is intelligence. And one of the things I've always loved that Draymond Green said recently about playing against a coach like Ty Lue. He's always said this, but he said this recently in an interview with Marcus Thompson at The Athletic, that he loves going up against Ty Lue because it's like a chess match. And it's kind of like, how can I counter this? How can I blow things up? And that's the advantage that the Warriors are going to have going into this Clippers game, is that they know their opponent. They know what, you know, how they want to score. They know they've seen James Harden a million times. They've seen Kawhi a million times. They know how these players want to get to the basket and find their buckets. And so this is going to be like a playoff preview, like a little appetizer to the playoffs. It's going to be a really rich chess match.
Big time appetizer, but hopefully it's not the main course because, you know, for the Warriors,
right.
It's really important for them to get the top six. When you look at their prospects, Zina, no matter who it is that they face in the first round, how important is it to you that they avoid the play-in and extra basketball leading up to the actual playoffs?
It's really important. I mean, they need it. I don't want to call them old, but the fellas are old. You know, they need the rest. They need some time for Steph to get some ice on those knees and just to have a little bit of rest before they go into what will be a grueling playoff series. I don't know if you guys watched the games last night between both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference.
Oh, yeah.
My God. Like, it's about to be a battle in both conferences. It's been so much fun watching basketball this season across the league, but the competition is stepped up on a different level. Defenses are better. Everyone's scheming better. Everyone's just making really great adjustments. And so I think as much time as you can give yourself to prepare for that battle, like, the better. And so I think it's very, very important that they get themselves out of the play-in, and I absolutely think they're capable of it. It will require them to show up tonight against a very good defensive Portland team that's been playing really well in the month of March and in April. Have again tall, long, athletic wings, and this will be a nice little warm-up to the Clippers game, and then closing things out on home court against the Clippers. Luckily for the Warriors, the Memphis Grizzlies lost last night. And that means they can control what's going to happen with their season if they win these two games out and at least get that six. It's hugely important.
Zina, I'd argue, you know, you're talking about the competitiveness of what we're about to see in the playoffs. I don't know that I can remember, certainly not in recent memory, a Western Conference that stacks up like this. You could convince me of almost anyone in the top eight beating anyone in round one. Like, maybe not if, like, let's say Memphis takes on OKC, but outside of that, everything feels like a coin flip.
Yeah, you know.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That would be a really good, I need to look up that stat on how all of these teams have fared against each other throughout the season. Like, if everyone's won at least once or, you know, I want to think because that's a good stat. I got to look that up before tonight's show, actually. I don't know how all these teams have fared up against each other, like, all around, but you're absolutely right on any given night. And that's why series are series. And that's why I love series, because it's one thing to be in the play-in and, you know, let's say the top of the Western Conference is in the play-in. Like, you genuinely don't know what's going to happen on a given night. But in a series, that's when savviness comes out. That's when veteranship comes out. That's when who's been here before gets revealed. And that's where I feel like that certain teams are going to have an advantage in that regard. OKC, absolutely. I'm sure they are tired of going to the Western Conference and losing. Like, they've been building up to this moment. And I know that, you know, Dagnall and his crew are going to be making sure they can make the adjustments. Houston, a little new to this in terms of the players. Ime Udoka obviously has had his success with Boston and such, but this will be interesting to see how they adjust within a series. Of course, we know what the Warriors are capable of. We know what Ty Lue is capable of at the Clippers. This haven't seen the Lakers in this form, but we know the players that are on the Lakers have absolutely been to the playoffs and know what that looks like. So that's what makes it even more competitive, is that a lot of the players involved in the Western Conference have all been there before in this position of pressure and need to perform across the course of the series. So yeah, I can't remember either the last time it's been this exciting, but I ain't complaining.
Yeah, us either, and we're hoping that the Warriors can get in and, you know, make some sort of a run. Maybe not a deep run, or a deep run would be great, but when you look at how teams have done against other teams in terms of the Warriors, do you have to kind of draw back and look at what the Warriors have done since they got Jimmy Butler? How much of a different team is this to where these past performances don't really apply?
Going into the playoffs, you do want to factor in momentum. You do want to factor in, like, what have you done for me lately, Miss Janet? But
nice.
I just feel like it's also a matter of who have you played lately. And so I'm looking at the momentum. I'm looking at what this team has looked like since Jimmy Butler has arrived. And I'm also looking at the caliber of teams that they've faced. And, like, where were these players, you know, were these players healthy? Were they just coming back off of injury? Like, what were the factors that were at play in this role that the Warriors have been on? And that makes me more hesitant to just look at this segment of the season and more reliant on what have they done for the course of the season. One thing I'll tell you is that 12-3 at the beginning of the season, don't ignore that. That is where you cannot, like, the numbers they were putting up, the threes they were putting up, like, that's not even realistic. I think you really do have to look at how they were performing in December, in January, and then balance that with what they've been doing lately. And what I would say is, the biggest thing you'd like to see going into the playoffs, especially when it comes to end of game situations, et cetera, they've found a way to get to the free throw line and they found a way to hit free throws. That's huge. That's huge in any big time of game situation, playoff series, et cetera. That's huge. Two, there's consistent across, whether it's that period before Jimmy or now, defense has been consistent. That's huge as well. And then the other thing is they found new bodies to throw at folks. Now, Quentin Post has been out. I've not checked the injury report, but I don't know if he's going to be out tonight.
I don't think they've announced anything yet. I think both of them remain questionable at this hour, Zena.
Correct. Okay, yeah. So, but you think about the fact that the Warriors have found new bodies within their roster to throw at people. This is very, very reminiscent of what they did with Jonathan Kuminga last year, where you almost find a free agent within your bench. And so you're seeing Moody become a defender, a point of attack defender, a big time defender for them off of their bench, rolling into the starting position. Quentin Post being a spacing big, that's huge. Gui Santos getting more minutes in general, being an energizer bunny all over the boards, et cetera. So those are the things that I would look at to balance before Jimmy and during Jimmy to not put too much emphasis on what's happened recently, but not to completely ignore it either, because 22-7 is nothing to scoff at.
Not at all. Hey, Zena, thanks so much. Fun to have you on, and have a great show tonight.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you guys. Yes, everyone tune in, NBC Sports Bay Area, 6 p.m. I'll be with Bonte and Mully.
Okay.